Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. My name is Thatomora Pula, an associate in CDH's Employment Law Department. Today, we will be unpacking unfair discrimination in the workplace. This is in light of recent judgments from the Labour Court, which considered whether conduct that occurred in the workplace amounts to unfair discrimination as prohibited by the Employment Equity Act, particularly looking at unfair discrimination based on listed and unlisted grounds. Joining me today is Ms. Yvonne Mkefa, a director in CDH Employment Law Department. Yvonne, thank you for making the time to share your insights on this interesting topic. The point of departure is the legal framework. What exactly is meant by the phrase unfair discrimination?
Thank you, Chata, for having me as well. The word discrimination is generally understood to mean unfair or prejudicial treatment of people or a group of people based on characteristics such as race, religion, beliefs, gender, age, or sexual orientation, just to name a few. This goes beyond mere differential treatment. When we look at our constitution, particularly Section 9, which is also known as the Equality Clause, this provision prohibits unfair discrimination as a general precept. But when we look at Employment Equity Act, particularly in the context of employment in the workplace, the Act does not expressly define the term discrimination. However, Section 6 of the Act, which is the Employment Equity Act, contains a prohibition of unfair discrimination. When we look at Section 6, subsection 1, it states that no person may unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against an employee on grounds such as race, gender, pregnancy, family responsibility, sexual orientation, age, disability, HIV status, and so forth. And when you proceed to look at Section 3 of Section 6, it states that harassment, which is a wider definition, or it's wide enough to include sexual harassment, is a form of unfair discrimination. And when we look again at subsection 4 of section 6, it states that a difference in terms and conditions of employment between employees doing the same or substantially the same work or work of equal value also amounts to unfair discrimination. However, for purposes of this particular discussion, the focus will be the grounds listed in subsection 1 of the Employment Equity Act and not necessarily harassment or equal work for equal pay disputes.
And as I understand it, section 6, subsection 1 contains specific grounds that an employee may not directly or indirectly be discriminated against. I think some of the grounds that you mentioned was race, gender, pregnancy and the like. Is this a closed list of grounds that an employee can rely on?
No, actually not. So the Labour Court has dealt with this question specifically in Pioneer Foods and Workers Against Regression and others. And the court confirmed that discrimination may be on an unspecified ground. What does this mean? On none of the grounds that are listed in subsection of Section 6 of the Employment Equity. And in this case, the court said discrimination will depend upon whether, objectively, the ground is based on attributes or characteristics which have the potential of impairing the fundamental human dignity of persons as human beings or to affect them in a comparably serious manner. This principle, once again, was confirmed by the Labour Court in solidarity on behalf of Kellerman and the Western Cape Education Department and others.
Yes, and if my memory serves me correctly, in the solidarity case, the employee was a white male and he was accused of being racist by one of his subordinates, a colored female. The employer convened a disciplinary hearing to determine the veracity of these allegations, and an independent chairperson ultimately found that there were no merits to these allegations. The employee, however, was dissatisfied with the employer's conduct and referred a dispute to Section 6, Subsection 1, read alongside Section 6, Subsection 3 of the Employment Equity Act on the basis that the false allegations of racism against them constituted harassment. The important principle from the Labour Court in this matter was that the employee did not plead discrimination on a listed ground, i.e. on race and gender, and had failed to sufficiently plead that the conduct, in other words, the accusations of racism, impaired his personal characteristics or attributes, and thus impugned his right to dignity. Ultimately, the Labour Court granted absolution from the instance, which essentially means that the employee on his own version failed to produce sufficient evidence to reasonably establish a prima facie case of discrimination in the form of harassment on an unlisted ground. And that was quite an interesting case. And are you aware of any recent judgments from the Leo Court involving unfair discrimination where an employee actually succeeded?
Ted, I mean, what you've just outlined from the Solidarity case is actually quite critical as the jurisprudence on discrimination is unfolding. So, yes, recently we have a case in Padiachi and Gauteng Department of Education. And in this case, the employee was a social worker of Indian descent at a school which had predominantly Black learners. The employee was informed by the employer that it sought to appoint an auxiliary social worker to assist the employee in overcoming cultural and language barriers, as the employee did not understand the children and their culture. The employee, in turn, after being informed of the employer's intention to appoint this social worker, accused the employer of behaving in a discriminatory manner based on race, ethnicity, culture, and language, and referred a dispute to the CCMA in terms of the Employment Equity Act, particular Section 10. When they got to the CCMA, the parties tried to resolve the matter through conciliation, and the matter remained unresolved. And then the employee approached the Labour Court and sought damages or compensation in terms of Section 50 of the Employment Equity Act. So when the court looked at the matter and considered what was before it, the court found that the employee had proved that she had been unfairly discriminated against by the employer through its conduct and in effect had humiliated and undermined the employee's dignity. The Labour Court further found that the employee was subjected to unfair discrimination on the listed grounds, that is, there's quite a few there, namely it was race, culture, ethnicity, and language, and ordered the employer to compensate the employee in an amount of 50,000 rand. What also struck me with this particular matter is, and it's something that needs to be noted, is that the employer did not file a statement of response or attack the proceedings at the Labour Court and therefore did not place their own version before court for the court to consider whether or not they believe that this was unfair discrimination or not.
Interesting. And then finally, Yvonne, what are some of the key takeaways that employers and employees should be aware of regarding discrimination cases in the Labour Court?
So there are a few takeaways, but I would like to share these two. So the first consideration is to determine whether the alleged discrimination is on a listed or unlisted ground. If it is not on a listed ground, then the employee will need to show that the discrimination is based on personal attributes or characteristics and that their dignity has been impaired. And the second consideration is to adequately plead. As you would recall, I did state that in Padiachi, the employer did not actually file the papers. So if for you to adequately plead the allegations of discrimination in light of the relevant legislative framework and foundational authorities on unfair discrimination. And this includes the constitutional court jurisprudence in cases such as Huxin versus Lane. We have also seen written compelling jurisprudence coming from the Labour Court and the Labour Appeal Court in cases dealing with topics such as sexual harassment, workplace bullying, and equal pay for equal work disputes.
And I think perhaps I can add something else in addition to what you said, in that it's important to also remember that the test is objective. And the Labour Court, in the Solidarity case in particular, that I referred to earlier, made the point that not everything that is bad, inexplicable, or irrational that occurs within the workplace will necessarily amount to unfair discrimination as prohibited by the Employment Equity Act. And this position was also confirmed by the Labour Court in the Lafoy v. Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and Others matter, where the court held that the fact that an employee is saddened or offended by the actions of an employer does not necessarily mean that the employee has been subjected to harassment within the meaning of unfair discrimination. And I think with that, that then brings us to an end of today's discussion. Yvonne, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Tadum.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.